Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition, a special Friday night edition of Sports of the Legend. I'm my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, Wei Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Not much, man. Glad to be on the show with you.
Hey, glad to be on, as usual.
All right, man. We got a busy, busy show, man. We couldn't wait until tomorrow night to do it. That's how busy it was. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to dive right into it. You know, we're going to talk about the Mets, you know, their big move, the historic move that they did, you know, giving Lindor that massive contract. We're going to dive into that first. We're going to talk about, you know, how, you know, the, you know, COVID affected the Mets season yet again. We're also going to talk about the Yankees, you know, they didn't have the start that they expected against the, you know, the Blue Jays. But, you know, obviously it's one game. We'll get into that as well. We'll talk about the Nets, the Knicks, who are in a tailspin right now. And then, of course, we'll talk about, you know, WrestleMania. We'll preview WrestleMania and other stuff. So if you want to talk about any of these topics or more, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. Again, feel free to call in and talk about any of these topics and more, but we will not delay. Let's get right into it. So, leading off, you know, the Mets, they had a deadline that they had to sign Lindor before opening day, which would have been Thursday, which, you know, we're going to get into that in a few seconds or so. But, you know, the Mets, they got the job done. They negotiated with Lindor on the eve of what would have been opening night against the Nationals. So, like, basically on the literally in the 11th hour, they announced that Francisco Lindor and the New York Mets agreed to a 10-year, $341 million contract. And mind you, how historic is this contract? Not only is this the biggest contract in Mets history, doubles the contract that David Wright had. It literally is the third largest contract in MLB history. I'm shocked saying this as a Met fan. I mean, for like decades, we've been begging, we've been pleading for the Wilpons to make a move like this, you know, i.e. A-Rod or any of the guys they went after, you know, in the past 20 years. But, you know, the Wilpons, they never pulled the trigger on this stuff. Like, reportedly, even the Piazza trade that went down in 98, it was because of, you know, the late, great, you know, Nelson Doubleday is why they made the move, you know. But, you know, kudos to Sandy Alderson and, of course, Steve Cohen, you know, sitting down with him, having dinner, you know, And ultimately coming down with the deal. Apparently, you know, the asking price was 12 years. Lindor's asking price was 12 years, you know, 300 and, what was it, 389? I can't even remember the number right now. Some ridiculous, crazy, like, ridiculous amount of money, you know. And the Mets' offer was, you know, 10 years, 325. So, you know, me and you were talking about it, you know, off the air, you know, for the past couple of days, you know, messaging each other back and forth, basically. And basically I was saying, like, you know, 10, you know, the highest that they should go is 10 years, 350, if they had to go that far. 400 million for anybody. I mean, obviously, Lindor is a top player. You know, he's a premier player, you know, for the shortstop position and you know, in the major leagues overall. But, I mean, 400 million, I mean, that's insane. I mean, I know Trout is the only guy who has that amount, you know, and as great as a player he is, you know, the Angels need to do a better job of building a team around him. You know, obviously, $400 million on one person is going to, you know, eat up a lot of payroll, you know. But, yeah, I'm just glad the Mets was able to pull it off. And if they didn't, you know, it would have been this huge dark cloud hovering over Lindor that, you know, wouldn't look right. It wouldn't be a good look with him, you know, with the Mets fans, you know, and the organization, you know, for letting this guy essentially walk away, you know, walk away via free agency if they're not able to agree on a deal, you know, in October or later than that. So, you know, good thing they did that. So then Thursday come around, probably Thursday afternoon, they announced that the opening night game, which would have had another epic duel between Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom, you know, two of the game's, you know, best pitchers in the game battling it out. You know, that would have been an epic matchup, you know, in the nation's capital. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there were some players on the Nationals who got stricken with COVID, and as a result, basically that game and ultimately the entire series, which would have been Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, got postponed. So as a result, you know, the Mets are going to start their season in Philadelphia. They're going to have Jacob DeGrom. They're going to have Stroman. And I think Peterson might be the other person who's pitching that game, the third game. And then they're also going to – and then the regular season will be Thursday, Taijuan Walker, the newest Met starter. He's going to make his debut Thursday night. He's going to be thrown right into the fire, Citi Field. But, you know, I'm looking forward to this season. I mean, I'm bummed that the game got postponed, but, you know, what can you do? But, Mac, what's your thoughts on, you know, the Lindor signing and to the postponement for the Mets season thus far?
Well, the Mets overpaid. I mean, plain and simple, they overpaid. I mean, Lindor, he's a great player. One of the best shortstops in baseball, but I mean, $340 million over 10 years. I mean, that's a lot of money and commitment to, you know, a player. So, I mean, that's too much money, man. I wouldn't have done it, you know. I would only do it for a guy who's like one in a million. I mean, yes, I know Lindor, you know, he's had several good seasons, you know, where he's hit 30-plus home runs. I don't think he's had a 100 RBI season yet, has he?
I mean, he's
been close. I don't know if he's gotten 100 RBIs. He probably has, but
I would assume so, because he's hit 30 home runs at least maybe once or twice in his career. His career high was like
he said 30 home runs at least twice. I think.
His career high, I think, was a few years ago, which was, I think, 38. Let's see if I could look through his stats.
Yeah, I'm looking at stats. He's never reached 100 RBIs. He came close in 2018, it looks like.
Yes, you are correct. You're right. So, basically, yeah, the biggest home run he's hit was in 2018. Highest home run total is was 38 home runs in 2018. Yeah, this was his best career period.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to invest in the player. I mean, I would have been fine if the Mets. It would have been fine if Mets did $300 million. I think that would have been the max that I would have given him. But 340 million, 350 or anything above that, you know, that's a ridiculous contract. But you know, he's going to have to live up to it now. That's the thing now. So mm-hmm. pressure is going to be on him to perform, you know, under this New York spotlight. So hopefully he does. But, you know, there could be a risk to it. There could be a reward to it. You know, hopefully mm-hmm. it's a reward. You know, he lives up to his contract and he helps the Mets and helps them win their that elusive championship that they've been waiting for, you mm-hmm. know, for the last
30 plus years.
So, yeah. So it's a risky deal, you know, because mm-hmm. Mets have been hurt financially, you know, mm-hmm. going back to the Madoff scandal. So hopefully this doesn't, you know, affect them that much, but we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
I hear you. Yeah, but, you know, the end of the day, you know, he wanted to make more money than Tatis, Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, which, I mean, he's going to make like 1 million more than Tatis Jr. will make from the contract. Because you know he made sure he had that extra $1 million than Tatis does. So
even Tatis, I think it was overpaid.
Well, yeah,
Tatis, I didn't even hit close to 30 home runs yet.
Yeah,
and he's only been in baseball for like
a few years.
So you know, I think these teams are going crazy right now with these contracts. I mean,
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Like, the contracts are excessive. I do agree that, Lindor, you know, he's had a lot more success than, you know, Tatis.
Oh, yeah, he has more experience.
And
yeah.
more experience. He's been to the World Series, you know.
Yeah.
He's been a leader of the team. You know, obviously, the Padres are up and coming, you know. Obviously, the Mets, in a sense, are up and coming too. I mean, they have some of the people, they have some of the players, the remnants of the 2015 National League champion teams, but you know, yeah, as a whole, they're still a young core. And
yeah.
you know, with Lindor as a young veteran, you know, the Mets are hoping that you know, he could be the final piece or one of the pieces to Mets solving their championship drought. So, I mean, I think it's a great move. Yeah, do I think they paid too much? Yeah, of course they paid too much. Realistically speaking, you know, I mean, unless if you're finding a cure for cancer or anything like that, should people be getting paid like money like this? But as a player wise, you know, compared to other players and all that stuff, I mean, Lindor, he's a superstar player. He's a very talented, you know, young guy. And, you know, by baseball standards, you know, he got paid. You know, he got paid well. And, you know, obviously there's going to be pressure on him. But, you know, I think, you know, in my opinion, as long as he brings a championship to the Mets, I mean, he wants to win two. He wants to win at least two. But, hey, for me, as long as he wins a championship, you know, for the Mets, you know, I'll be more than satisfied with what he's doing, whatever he puts up. You know, I'll worry about year 10, 10 years from now. So, you know, I just hope, you know, everybody can stay healthy and, you know, he can, you know, hopefully have a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he has, what, I think 138 home runs with Cleveland. So, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll hit several hundreds more and, you know, lead the Mets to the title, you know.
Yeah.
So you can ask for.
Hopefully that's the case.
Yeah. So right now, all I'm thinking about is, you know, they got to lock up Conforto. You know, they got to lock him up like he stole something, you know. So yeah. they gotta make a deal done with Conforto. And then
they're gonna have to worry about DeGrom soon.
Oh yeah. Again, yeah. But number one, they gotta worry about Conforto. And once they sign him to extension, then all Mets fans are gonna feel very comfortable. So you know, so but yeah, DeGrom, yeah. I mean DeGrom, he has a great deal as well, but you know, like you were saying on a baseball sense, you know, he has that opt out. So, you know, business wise, he might opt out and try to make more money. And, you know, the Mets are going to have to, you know, pay him more money to keep him, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he is the best pitcher in baseball, you know. I mean, if DeGrom keeps having a few more years like this and the Mets actually, you know, score some runs for him, you know, as – you know, their offense should improve, you know, with Lindor and James McCann, you know, who's improved offensively over the past couple of years. I mean, along with the other young guys they have, you know, the Mets offense should improve. But, you know, on paper, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, they gotta do it on the field and at the plate. So, you know, we'll see. And we'll see what happens with them. And another thing is the Mets are in the toughest division in all of baseball. You know, the NFC. NL East. What am I talking about? I'm thinking of basketball. Think about your Giants.
Oh man.
The NL East. So yeah, I mean, see, that's how tough it is. They're messing up my mind. You know the NL East, you know, and that's how tough it is. The Marlins, they were a wild card team. Obviously, it was a shortened season because of the ongoing pandemic. But they're expected not even to make the playoff this year. And you know, the Mets are going to be battling the Braves, the Phillies, the Nationals, and who knows, maybe even the Marlins too, because you know, the Marlins, for the first time in their history, they won the wild card, but they didn't win the champion. They didn't win the World Series. So who knows? I mean, who knows what's gonna happen? So you know, I'm just looking forward for this season, and you know, let's go Mets. Let's see what they do Monday night. You know, I'm predicting a win for DeGrom. Keep our, you know, the best opening day, you know, winning percentage of all time for any franchise intact. You know, DeGrom get the W, Lindor hits his first home run in the first, and away we go. Let's go Mets. Let's see what happens. Now, let's shift gear to the Yankees. And, the Yankees, you know, they were the first baseball team to host, host their home. Well, they're the only New York team to play, basically, now that I think about it, because of this pandemic, you know, shut down our series. So Yankees were the first New York team to play, baseball, with the fans returning. And, Gerrit Cole, he pitched well. He went, 5 1/3. Unfortunately, you know, he gave up 2 runs, including a home run, which, you know, he admits he wished he had that slider back to Teoscar Hernandez. And, a positive sign from the team was, Gary Sanchez hitting a home run. Fortunately for the Pinstripes, they weren't able to come through, you know, I don't know if you heard of a weird stat, but do you know how many walk-off hits Aaron Judge has so far in his career?
How many walk-off hits?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'd say probably none so far.
Unfortunately, shockingly, none. I was shocked when I heard this. I would have thought he had like 3 or 5, but, you know.
He's had some big postseason hits, but not walk-off hits.
But yeah, you know, hopefully, well, with the Yankees, most he has plenty of opportunities to do that. He might even do it tomorrow, for all we know. So
yeah, you know, right now people are panicking. I mean, I didn't see most of the game because I was at work yesterday afternoon. But I did watch the highlights. You know, Cole, like you said, pitched well. He did give up that hanging slider in the sixth inning to Hernandez, which went over the left field wall. It's a good sign to see Gary Sanchez homers. I mean, the problem with Gary, there's no debate that he has power. The only
thing
is,
Gary.
Yeah, he's Gary, and you know, the only issue is him being consistent, because the last few years he hasn't been consistent with his hitting. He's been striking out much. You know, we want to see, you know, the Gary Sanchez that we saw in 2018. You know, that's the Gary that we want to see again. So hopefully, you know, we'll see that Gary Sanchez again. And yesterday was a good sign, him hitting that home run to put us up 2-1, but we couldn't hold on to the lead. And, you know, we ended up losing that game in the 10th inning when Nick Nelson, you know, gave up that hit to Randall Grichuk. I think Grichuk is his name.
Oh, yeah, Grichuk. Was it Grichuk, was it the 12th or was it the 10th? I can't remember.
It was the 10th. And Aaron Judge couldn't catch it. They went over his head. And, yeah, we ended up losing the game. And, well, I mean, Judge had an opportunity to win the game in the bottom of the, what was it, the bottom of the 10th. But, fortunately, couldn't cash in. So, tomorrow's another day. And we have Corey Kluber making his regular season Yankees debut. So hopefully he can pitch well and get us a win tomorrow. So, you know, too much panic right now. It's only the first game. So let's not go crazy, everyone. All right? There's 161 more games to go in the season.
Matt being the voice of reason.
Yeah. I mean, there's too many damn games in the season. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That is very true. But the Yankees, you know, they lost by the final score of 3-2 in the 10th, and the Yankees, you know, they have a chance tomorrow to bounce back, and then they'll be everything will be even, literally and figuratively speaking. So the series isn't over yet. So
yep,
it's just a regular. You know, if they win tomorrow, they'll just need the rubber match on Sunday, and it'll be a positive victory. So
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, you know, obviously some Yankee fans felt like they had shades of the Yankees in recent postseason, you know, with those guys, you know, especially Stanton and you know, Judge striking out, you know, in those situations. But
I can't be panicking after the first game. I mean, come on, let's not be ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I even heard that they said some Yankee fans were booing Stanton, you know, because obviously they felt like what's your thoughts on that?
Stanton, I mean, you gotta give him credit. In the postseason last year, he was pretty much the guy that was clutch for us. If you think about it, you know, he had some big hits in the postseason last year. So I'm not going to boo him because I know this guy's going to put up some crooked numbers as the season goes on. It's just a matter of him staying healthy. It's a question. I mean, throughout his career, he hasn't been able to play a full 162 game season, you know, not 162 game season, but you know,
what's
his play. Yeah, but I think he'll be fine, you know, and again, let's not go crazy, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see what happens with the Yankees, you know, as the week goes along. Moving on to the Knicks, man. Yeah, the Knicks, what can you say, man? They have not been playing well these last couple of games, man. They've had their losing streak. They lost the first game. They lost it in this losing streak. It was a close game, but these last two games, especially the Minnesota game, I mean, there's no excuse for them blowing these leads. These leads, you know, this late. You know, if they want to be a legit playoff team, they can't be losing these games.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And Randall, these last several games, he hasn't looked good. I mean, tonight he only had 14 points. I mean, you know, he was looking like an MVP caliber player, you know, before the All-Star break. But now, you know, he's been playing really, really bad. So he needs to get his act together, especially since, you know, he indicated that he wants to be a leader for this team. You know, he hasn't been acting like a leader recently. And right now we're on a 3-game losing streak. So, you know, we gotta start winning some of these games because right now, you know, it looks like the East is getting tighter. You know, you have a lot of teams right now that are hovering, you know, around that 500 mark. So we can't lose these games or else we're going to be out of the playoff picture.
I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, the season's, you know, yeah, the ended like maybe a few weeks ago, but yeah, the season is going to end. Once you snap your fingers and blink, season's going to be over. They got to get their act together.
Yeah.
I mean, did you hear what Carl Edwards was saying about R.J. Barrett at the end of the game when the Knicks blew like a 18-point lead?
I heard that he was saying something, but what exactly did he say?
Yeah, he was doing like an interview, and he was saying like, you know, they wanted to keep the ball out of Randall's hand, you know, for that last play of the game, and then he was saying like, you know, he wanted R.J. Barrett to have the ball, and he said if R.J. Barrett beat him, they would have been cool with that. So basically, it was like he basically was thinking like R.J. Barrett's a scrub, like he can't perform in the big spots is what he was.
Wait, he said if R.J. Barrett hit it, he would have been cool with that.
Yeah, he would have been cool with it. Like
that kind of contradicts what he said. So he said they wanted to keep the ball out of their
Randall's hand.
Oh, Randall's hand. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Because they felt like Randall was more of a bigger threat, so their strategy was for Barrett to have the ball instead of Randall. And they felt like he, you know, Barrett wouldn't be clutch enough to make the shot. So let's say basically he was saying like if the plan would have backfired, he would have been cool with it because strategically it would have been better for Barrett to have the ball instead of Randall. And unfortunately in this incident, he was right. I mean, unfortunately, you know, Barrett wasn't able to come through. He didn't have a good game again today, too.
Barrett, he's mm-hmm. having a very good season.
Yeah,
know?
He is, absolutely.
Just 17 points. I mean, he does have to improve his jump shot a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he's been having a good season. And people forget, I mean, this guy's only 21 years old.
Exactly.
Let's not forget. And
yep.
Obi Toppin is older than him. Can you believe that? And he's been in the league longer than Obi Toppin. So,
I know.
You know, he has a lot of potential going forward. So,
yep.
You know, all these people doubting him, you know, he's going to prove his doubters wrong soon.
Yeah. And I'm surprised Carl Edwards is saying that, too, because Carl Edwards is a young player himself. You know, from the, like, talking smack on R.J. Barrett like that. And RJ, like you said, R.J. Barrett is having a good year. You know, he's having a pretty good year, especially for a young guy like that. R.J. Barrett, like, he has the potential to be a closer, a clutch type, you know, player in the game, like a guy you'd want to have the ball in the last shot. He just needs a little bit more maturation, man. But
yeah, he's still a young guy, you know. So this guy could be like a Paul Pierce,
mm-hmm.
you know, type player I see. So
mm-hmm. Exactly.
He has potential.
And it took Paul Pierce forever to win that championship. You know, they had to form the big three plus Rondo for them to win that title. And up until that point, people were like viewing him like a loser, you know, Paul Pierce, until he finally got the big one. You know, they felt like he was a talented player, you know, but him and Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty kind of, Celtic teams, you know, they felt like those were talented teams, but they never got over the hump. You know, it was until he had Paul Pierce and Garnett. I mean, not Paul Pierce.
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen, you know, Garnett, and you know, of course, Rondo. You know,
yeah.
for them to finally win it. So, yeah, you know, you never know how. Like the same goes. It's not how you start; it's how you finish. So, you know, who knows? You know, once he gets some pieces around him, and you know, RJ Barrett becomes one of the best players instead of the number two guy on the team, you know, he'll improve with less pressure on him. So again, it's still way too young for him, you know, to judge him on, you know, just because he didn't make the last shot, or, you know, he hasn't been a guy they've counted on. But, you know, again, Randle is the all-star. You know, that's a guy who you need the ball in his hand. Obviously, once the Knicks improve, whether it's roster wise or chemistry wise, you know, there won't the you know, Randle won't be the obvious threat to beat them. You know, so we'll see what happens with that. But let's move on to the Nets. And I don't know if you heard that, you know, the Nets have been a controversy.
Oh yeah, you mean Kevin Durant?
Yeah, Kevin Durant with Michael Rapaport, the actor, the famous actor.
Right.
And apparently, you know, they had beef online, and basically Kevin Durant said some offensive stuff about him, you know, while they were, you know, I guess texting back and forth with each other. And as a result, the NBA hit him with a $50,000 fine. And, you know, prior to that, Durant apologized, for saying that he didn't want those tweets to be public. To me, that sounds like a half apology, because it's like, if you were really sorry, you'd be like, you know, obviously it was the heat of the moment. You didn't feel like, you know, you regret, you know, sending it to him. It was like, he was just sorry. To me, it seemed like he was just sorry that he got caught.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion.
Yes, he fined $50,000. And he's been out too. He's been injured. But David, Nets are still winning without him.
Yeah, that's how talented of a team they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, but again, you know, he hasn't been really playing that much, but, you know, the Nets, they've been, they're still streaking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not too long ago, they won 8 in a row, and right now they're currently on a 4-game winning streak, and, you know, they're going to be facing the Bulls on Sunday afternoon, and then they're going to be battling us Monday night, the same exact time the Mets are going to be opening their season, unless if the Mets move their game, the opening game, to the morning. But most likely it's going to, I should say the afternoon, but most likely they're going to be battling out at the same exact time. So, oh my goodness, it's going to be crazy for me. I'm going to be flicking through the Mets, the Knicks, the Raw, you know, WWE Raw. Like, man,
this
is going to be hectic. But yeah, I digress. But yeah, the Nets, you know, they just keep on rolling. You know, they got LaMarcus Aldridge. Of course, they got Blake Griffin not too long ago. So, I mean, the pressure is on.
They're playing well. It's battling the Sixers for that top spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they're a half game above the 76ers right now. The Nets are 34-15, and the 76ers are 33-15 record wise. So, yeah, man, this is playoff basketball.
Yep.
You gotta love it. But now look at this. Not too long ago, when the Knicks were on this winning streak, they were in the fifth spot. Now they've dropped down all the way down to seventh place. The Knicks are 24-25. So, they've got to get their act together quick.
Yeah, so I said, you know, there a lot of teams right now fighting around that 500 mark, so Knicks have to, you know, start winning these games again, or else they're gonna fall even further down in the standings.
Mhm. Yeah, I mean they definitely have a good chance against the Pistons tomorrow night, but before they face the Nets on Monday. But yeah, the Knicks, they lost to the Timberwolves, a game they should have had, especially that was Timberwolves' old stomping grounds. So yeah, they should have had that win. But knowing the Nets, man, Nets on the other hand, they're definitely gonna beat up on the Bulls. You know, the Bulls are wishing it was the 90s, because if it was, mm-hmm. The Nets wouldn't stand a chance. But yeah, I guess we'll find out what happens. You know, as the week goes along. So the good thing about it is, you know, both New York basketball teams are competing for a playoff spot. Who knows? They might even face each other. Oh, what did you say?
Basketball is alive and well in the city.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Might even be a Nets-Knicks battle, you know, again.
Possibly.
Well, but thank God Tim Thomas and Kenyon Martin is in it. we might have the same outcome. I mean, hey, we're most likely gonna still have the same outcome anyway. Who knows? But hey, this Knicks team, you know, they're top in the leagues in defense. So hey, you never know. Stranger things have happened in sports. So
yeah,
guess we'll find out. But most importantly, Nets are gonna be there. The Knicks, they just need to get their act together and get back on their winning ways. But, shifting gears to winning ways, man. Yeah, WrestleMania. WrestleMania is coming up next weekend. So, are you pumped, man?
Yeah, I'm interested a bit. You know, it's going to be different. It's similar to last year where you're going to have the two nights. It's going to be a two-night event, but I don't know. This year, it just feels like it's missing something, and it feels rushed.
I agree. I agree. 100%. And I'll tell you why. Two words. WWE Fastlane. That's the reason. They kept hyping up Fastlane. They were trying to hype up Fastlane and WrestleMania at the same time, and it ruined. And then they just had like 2 or 3 weeks to hype up WrestleMania. Like, this WrestleMania is like the road to WrestleMania. They have some good, interesting matches, but like you said, it's missing that oomph.
Yeah.
You know, unlike the Attitude Era, especially WrestleMania 17, that build up, you know, with Rock and Austin. Like, we have some matches that are very interesting, but they're not on that level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's just dive right into it. All right, we got Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. Normally I'd say Seth Rollins, but I think Cesaro, you know, they have to give him this victory. What's your thought?
You know, I'd say I really want Cesaro to win, but then again, I could see Seth Rollins winning it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Cesaro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I'm going to regret this, but I feel like, I mean, it's common sense. They're putting Cesaro on the microscope that he can't win the big spot and all that stuff. And this is his first singles match at WrestleMania, believe that or not. The facts would say Seth Rollins, but they have to give him this opportunity to win, you know. Seth Rollins, I mean, you know, he's won most of his matches, obviously against Brock Lesnar and Triple H. I mean, he did lose to Kevin Owens, which is basically Seth Rollins has the same feud that he has last year, except you just copy and paste Cesaro on top of Kevin Owens. That's literally the same feud. Like, you can't win the big one. I've won all these matches. You can't do it. And it's the same feud.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cesaro, I'm picking Cesaro, even though I'm most likely going to have egg or pie on my face, you know, with WWE booking. Next, speaking of WWE booking, Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. I mean, Braun Strowman has to win this match. I know it's a steel cage match. Unless there's like a lot of interference or something, Braun Strowman has to win this match. I mean, come on. But in a cage match, where's Shane going to jump off of? He's going to climb up the cage and just dive off, you know?
That's what I'm thinking. He's going to jump off the top.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's why you have Shane McMahon in this match, so he could do his famous dive, suicide dive, you know?
Yeah.
Elbow drop, you know? I mean, that's why you're having this match. I mean, this match would only make sense if Braun Strowman was the villain and Shane McMahon is the good guy. Because how is Shane McMahon bullying Braun Strowman? You're stupid. It's like, Shane be the good guy and Braun be the bad guy?
Oh, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to tear you part from part.
It's like, this guy's in a SmackDown Raw match. Like, this is not a WrestleMania match. I mean, come on.
This
and that feud messed up Braun Strowman, in my opinion. Oh, continue. I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say this is one of the several matches on this WrestleMania card that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. I just read your mind that you're not feeling this match either.
No, I'm not. I don't even know what the point of it is.
It's not. What is this gonna prove? If Braun Strowman wins, does this mean that he's smart? Why are we having this match? Braun Strowman has like over 200 pound advantage of him. You know, this basically Braun Strowman is Big Show 2.0 now. It's like they put him in feuds where he's the good guy and he's feuding against villains who are like three times smaller than him. Like, how are we supposed to root for, you know, a giant, you know, going against a guy who he has a huge advantage over? Like, it literally makes no sense. This is not a spelling bee. You know what I mean? This is not Jeopardy where his wits are going to automatically help him win the match. I mean, obviously there's ring psychology, in matches, but I mean, it's brain versus brawn, you know? That might as well say it's a brain versus brawn steel cage match. Like, I mean, it's a pointless match.
I mean, who knows? It may change my mind, you know, because usually Shane, he does have, you know, some great matches. I'll give him that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Especially his match against Angle back in the days.
Yeah. So it might change my mind. We'll see. But mm-hmm. I'm not feeling this match at the moment.
Yeah, I'm with you. New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos. This is the tag team match. The Raw tag team match is on the line. And, you know, Omos is going to try to fight, you know, alongside AJ Styles and win his first ever. Well, this would be both of their first ever WWE Tag Team Championship match.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. I'm picking Styles and Omos to win. I mean, they have to, yeah. So, yeah, I could see New Day finding a way to beat AJ Styles somehow and doing it, but they'd have to find a way to stop Omos, which, I mean, that's almost impossible, you know.
Yeah, that's a tall dude.
Yeah. So, yeah. Omos and AJ Styles has to win this match. I mean, hands down. Then you have another match. You thought the Braun Strowman match versus Shane match is might not be appetizing to watch. Bad Bunny versus The Miz in a singles match. Like, come on, man. This is like John Cena era Raw match, filler match. Miz just won the title again for the second time ever just a few weeks ago, like a month ago. Are we having this match? We know Bad Bunny's going to win.
Match.
Well, what did you say? I'm sorry.
No, this is another, you know, strange match. I don't know why.
This match makes no sense. We know the Miz is gonna lose this match. Come on, we know Miz is gonna lose this match. What is the point of this match? This guy was just a WWE champion, and you're putting him in this match. Bad Bunny is a 24/7 champion, but he never lost the title because he willingly handed it to R-Truth. Is R-Truth even in this WrestleMania, or is he like in a battle royale or something?
R-Truth?
R-Truth's not even in WrestleMania.
He probably will make an appearance, of course.
Yeah, an appearance, but he's not in a match. He'll defend the 24/7 somehow within some, I don't know, some, you know, like a Divas match or something, or night two maybe.
Well, I mean, saw last year he lost it to Rob Gronkowski at the last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, so he loses it to everybody. He might lose it to me or you.
I wouldn't be surprised if he lost it to Bad Bunny backstage.
Yeah, he might. He might lose it again. Who knows? Like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, does R-Truth really, when you think about it, R-Truth doesn't really have many matches these days. He's always just running away from people and trying to hold on to the title.
I know. They're ruining his character, man. Like, this guy, to me, like, seriously, this guy could have been a championship caliber guy. I mean, this dude won the TNA championship, like, what, over a decade ago? Maybe almost 20 years ago? I can't even remember. Like, this guy, yeah, probably was almost 20 years ago. Because before he came back to WWE, he, you know, he won the TNA title. And then he came back, and then, you know, he had the little Jimmy gimmick, which was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was like 10 years ago. My goodness. It was 10 years ago. Time for them to put the title on him. But no, they didn't. They didn't put the title on him that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. What match are you – okay, who do you think is going to win Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair?
I think Bianca's going to win it. She's going to pull off an upset.
Repeat that. Who do you think is going to win?
Bianca's going to win it. I think she's going to pull off an upset.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think so. And what about Drew versus Bobby Lashley?
You know, I want to say Lashley, but I know WWE, they're going to screw him over. So I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre on this one, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again? I'm kind of having, like, difficulty.
I said Drew McIntyre is going to win it, unfortunately, because
yeah.
I know WWE, you know, this is going to screw over Lashley. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre on this one.
Yep. Unfortunately, I want, as much as I want to pick Lashley to win this, because that's what makes sense, but the WWE booking right now is insane. For them to kill the Hurt Business, not to mention – what, the week before WrestleMania, the week or two before WrestleMania, I mean, it proves the writing on the wall that they're gonna give Bobby Lashley a worse of screw job than Kofi versus Brock Lesnar. Like, what was the point of the Hurt Business breaking up just before WrestleMania? Nobody likes this move. Only Vince McMahon literally is the only person reportedly who thinks this is a good idea.
Makes no sense.
It's dumb.
I mean, that was their best faction going.
It was literally the best faction they had. Like, Hurt Business, in that short period of time, was, like, arguably one of the best factions in a short time, if not even of all time, because the potential that they had, you could have literally had them as a viable tag faction for years. You could have broke them up 2 years from now, and it would have made sense.
Yep.
It don't make no sense for them to break up their faction right now. Like, it boggles the mind. They beat up on Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. And then Baron Corbin came out and attacked Drew McIntyre, but he's still on SmackDown. Like, I mean, what is the point of this?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It really doesn't make any point. It really doesn't make any sense. Like, they're in love. For some reason, they're in love with Drew and Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre together, because last year they were all in a faction together. Now they're – no, actually, it wasn't last – it was last year. No, wait. It was 2 years ago, I think it was.
It was
2 years ago that it happened, because Drew McIntyre was fighting for the championship and won the first title, his first title on the road to WrestleMania against Brock at this time. So it had to be like 2019 is when
right.
2019 is when they had the faction together, and now they're back. The band is back together again, except against Drew. Like, it just literally didn't make any sense.
I'd be surprised if Lashley wins it, but I just have a feeling McIntyre's gonna pull off the win.
100%. But McIntyre's gonna win it, and it makes no sense right now. It makes no sense for McIntyre to win. I get it. McIntyre's a hero. You want to get the title back on him, but the timing is wrong. The timing is wrong. You need Bobby Lashley to retain the title at WrestleMania, and then face Brock Lesnar. Ideally, I would assume Brock Lesnar would pop up at WrestleMania and attack Bobby Lashley and start the feud. That's the only reason it would make sense. But it's just silly. It's like mad silly. Like, it makes no sense that they're breaking up. The only way this would make sense is, ha ha ha, it's a swerve. You know, it's a trick. You know, what's his name? Keith Lee is the new member of the Hurt Business, and it was all a ruse. Now it's five of them. Lee would attack Drew McIntyre, who's also a friend of his. And then once Bobby Lashley wins the title, then the Hurt Business would reveal that they all were in on it, and now they have a new member.
That'd be interesting if that.
That would be the only way that they would redeem this storyline. And then you have Brock Lesnar maybe on Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania. You know, they all five of them are laughing like, yo, and my MVP is like, yo, yeah, fly for it, man. Yeah, I thought we broke up, but we are stronger than ever. Yeah, and you know,
that could happen.
Then you see them laughing, and then you have Brock Lesnar come out. Then that would hype it up. That would be the only reason that would redeem this broken up storyline.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was night one. Another thing, this should have been the match that ended WrestleMania, period, night two. But let's go into night two right now. Night two, you got Riddle versus Sheamus, singles match for the United States Championship. I got Riddle to retain.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Riddle as well. I'm going to go with Riddle.
Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens, hands down.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kevin Owens as well.
Yeah, this is like years in the making. They've been best friends for a long time, even before WWE. Like,
but they fought before.
Except Kevin Owens was the heel and Sami Zayn was the good guy at that time.
Yeah.
But this is WrestleMania. You know, this should have been more. There should have been more hype for this storyline. It's like they feel like they just threw the storyline like a few weeks ago. Like
this was rushed.
Yeah, Sami Zayn kicked him in the face, you know, because he didn't believe him, and now they have the feud. This is a money match right here. This could be a match that could steal the show if they give them an opportunity. Yeah. Another match is interesting is Big E versus Apollo Crews in a Nigerian dorm fight. For the Intercontinental Championship, you know, that could be an interesting match, but like, this better be like a no holds bar, a hardcore kind of match. Like, drum fight? Or could they hit people with the drums? Like, well, don't just name it something and it's a regular match, a singles match. Like, well, now we got to find out. We don't even know what the stipulations are. They better explain it on SmackDown. You know.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but I'm going with Apollo Crews to win it.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Apollo Crews to win it, too, because, well, yeah, Apollo Crews has to win this. I think Big E might retain it. I think Big E might retain it and then lose to Apollo Crews again the next time. Yeah, I think Big E is going to win it, and then Apollo Crews is going to win the next time they face each other. All right, now it's The Fiend versus Randy Orton. And The Fiend has to win this. This is his mulligan from a few years ago when they had that match where they had the fireflies and the projections and the worms and, you know, like when he burned down the house, the firefly fun house the first time years ago.
Yeah.
This is the redemption of The Fiend. The Fiend has to win this match. I mean,
yeah.
They even hyping it up like they never fought each other at WrestleMania before. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, him and Alexa Bliss have been tormenting Randy Orton for these last several months. I see Fiend winning this to get his revenge on Randy.
Mm-hmm. It makes no sense for Randy to win it, which
no
is what happened the last time.
Yeah.
So, all right, now you got the World Women's Championship, Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is going to win this. She had her opportunity to defend her NXT Championship last year against Charlotte, and you know, she lost it. So I think this is Rhea Ripley's redemption here, and not to mention Asuka. Asuka, they haven't really made Asuka defend the title lately. It's like WWE doesn't know what to do with her. Like they just will. We're serving her up to Charlotte, but I think they said Charlotte might have COVID or something. Something happened to Charlotte. Didn't someone mention down on Raw that she has COVID or something? So in any case, that's why Charlotte wouldn't be in the match. Oh yeah, and by the way, they had this the women / divas of all time. Guess who where they rank Charlotte?
Number one.
they ranked her number two. But of all time.
Wow.
You know who's number one?
Trish Stratus.
Yep, correct. Yeah. Other than that, after Trish Stratus, it's like all the current women wrestlers. It's Charlotte, it's Becky, it's Sasha, all the modern ones, they're all surprisingly all 2, 4, 5, 6, down the line. I mean, come on, like really? I mean, come on.
That's disrespecting all the divas of past.
That's a joke. Where's Lita might even be in the 30-something. I can't even remember what thing they ranked her. Maybe I'm gonna have to bring up this list next week. No, not next week. We don't have a show next week. The week after that, 2 weeks from now, when I come back, maybe I'll try to remember to bring that list, and we'll see where the people are ranked. Yes, what other match? Oh, last but not least, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. What's your thoughts?
Well, this should have been a one-on-one match. I just wanted to see Reigns against Edge, but they have to throw Daniel Bryan in it. But I am going with Roman Reigns to retain the title.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah, Roman Reigns is going to win the title because all these other – it's just the Edge and Daniel Bryan cancels each other out. Like, I thought for sure Edge was going to win the title once it was one-on-one against him and Roman Reigns. And then or if it was Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, then it would have made sense for Daniel Bryan to win it. But now that Daniel – everybody is heels right now. Daniel Bryan's acting like a heel. Edge is acting like a heel. Roman Reigns obviously is the heel of it. Like, they all cancel each other out, really. So even in a tie, the champion retains the title, and this is what's going to happen. Like, Roman Reigns is going to retain it. Yeah.
Yeah.
if Roman Reigns doesn't retain it, Edge will win it. But I think Roman Reigns will retain it.
Yeah.
Let me go quickly to the NXT because they have a move event quickly. Let's see. You got Io Shirai versus Raquel Gonzalez, NXT Women's Championship. I'm picking Raquel Gonzalez to end Io Shirai's reign. Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa. I think Walter will retain it. The six-man gauntlet match. Dexter Lumis will win that. He'll defeat Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Bronson Reed, and Cameron Grimes, and LA Knight so that he could be number one contender for, you know, the NXT North American Championship on night two. I pick MSK to defeat the Grizzled Young Veterans and Legado de la Fantasma for the vacant NXT Tag Team Championship. I think Pete Dunne will defeat Kushida night one. Night two will be, I think Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart will defeat and retain the title, the tag team women's title, NXT tag team women's title against Candice LeRae and Indy Dark Hartwell. And then the unsanctioned match, I think Adam Cole will win that against Kyle O'Reilly. Johnny Gargano, he'll lose to Dexter Lumis. For the NXT North American Championship, they've had a rivalry for months. And I think Jordan Devlin, the NXT UK Cruiserweight Champion, will defeat the interim NXT North American Cruiserweight Champion, and Devlin will be the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Champion. And then last but not least, Finn Balor will lose the title to Karrion Kross. And, yeah, that's basically it. And then, of course, you have the Hall of Fame thing coming up, I think, on Tuesday night. You know, they have a lot of great people, you know, getting inducted. You got NWO. You got Molly Holly. Eric Bischoff. Who else is in there? Kane.
Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, that's a great one. A long overdue as well. Great Khali, Molly Holly. Did I mention her already? I think JBL. I think is one of them as well. Yeah, it's a big Hall of Fame. Oh, I think even British Bulldog is going in there too.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah, he'll be honored by. I think his son will be there to on his behalf. But yeah, pumped. That the Hall of Fame should be good. Check out. Anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Well, NXT, I hear that it's moving to Thursday nights. Either Thursday or Tuesday nights. I'm forgetting now. I think Thursday.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're moving Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay.
Tuesday. Yeah. On April 13th, they're moving to Tuesday. And I think TNA Impact is moving to Thursdays.
Okay, there you go.
So, yeah. Thanks for that tidbit. Anything else?
No. Everyone have happy Easter. Check out my show here later on. We'll check your local listings. I'm Mac on podcast radio, so. Check out for that here shortly.
Yeah, you heard the man. Check out his podcast for your show iMac, and come back here 2 weeks. Next week we have it off, but 2 weeks from now we'll definitely be back. We'll give you our WrestleMania reviews, and we'll tell you what's going on in the world of sports 2 weeks from now, and thank you guys, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William M.O. I'll see you guys next week, and have a wonderful Easter Resurrection weekend. Peace.